We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Parents are sitting there going, okay, I got to take my kid to the emergency room. I mean, some things you have to, right? Broken bones, depends on what they are. And it's sort of like you're going to go to a hospital right now. Now you sort of think, I don't want to go to a hospital right now, do you?
All right, let's run off these phone calls and then we'll get into some Tom Brady stuff. Here's Nick in Fall River. Hey, Nick.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Nick.
I'm just calling in regards to the doctor who called and suggested a ban of liquor sales. I'll be honest with you. I don't drink, don't do anything recreational in any sense. However, I think once again, this is kind of this panic driven concept where, for one, when you're taking a group of people, you take away their careers. You take away any means of being able to provide and any means of hope. You put them in a home and tell them to stay home and quarantine themselves. Naturally, you're going to have people now on top of one another, bothering one another when they wouldn't typically bother. So then now, okay, yes, a good percentage of the population does drink. They're going to say, okay, domestic violence rises. Now, domestic violence was naturally going to rise due to this, no matter what. Now, domestic violence incidents related to alcohol absolutely was also going to be on the rise because, once again, you're quarantined to one particular area and you're taking away all hope and faith and ability to kind of establish some type of income or stability for your family in a sense of looking forward and being hopeful about that. But then to turn around and take away one of our largest grossing revenue resources as a state, as a government, and then once again shut that down, which would have a detrimental impact on the economy, but then say, oh, well, we're truly doing it to combat domestic violence. Well, I mean, and I understand we're not looking to endanger the lives of those because, Billy comes home bombed and he wants to smash on Betty. But yeah, at the same time, you kind of have to look at the bigger picture here.
Nick, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's more people are home. People are out of jobs. That raises stress level. That raises anger, right? I mean, if you're in that situation and all of a sudden now that husband is constantly home because he just got fired. Well, him being fired is not going to put him in a good mood, right? So, yeah, those numbers probably, unfortunately, are going up, and it's awful. You know, and I'm sure some are liquor related, but like you said, the circumstances surrounding whatever's going on in that household financially is probably leading to a lot of it as well.
Yeah, I'm just not sure cutting out the liquor stores is going to be a long-term solution. So suppose this economy really bottoms out and we have a Great Depression. Do we not think that all of the things that we've been talking about are not going to accelerate? Sure they are. There's no question about it. They go hand in hand. Dave is in. Go ahead, Christian.
No. I was going to say, you wish it was. I would love for it just to be a recession, but I think we're knee deep in a depression.
Well, that may be. Dave is in Springfield. Next up here in EEI. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on that as well. I think if they actually shut down liquor sales, people are going to hoard the liquor before they shut it down, and places are going to turn into speakeasies, whether it's a garage, a bar, or anything else.
Moonshine.
And that would make it even worse, though, because then people, I think, at the speakeasy would be closer than 6 feet apart, correct?
They'll be crowded in there, 20 people in a garage, and that is going to make things even more drastic because it's going to continue. And people won't be able to find it unless your neighbors call on you.
It's a great point. Go back to Prohibition. What happened? People made their own liquor, right? They had a side business going. You don't think there are people that have...
They call it strawberry wine.
I just planted some grapes.
They call it strawberry wine.
I got some grapes growing in the backyard just in case.
Yeah, you don't know that, Glenn. You go down in the South. A lot of people don't call it moonshine. They call it strawberry wine.
It's moonshine.
And it tastes like gasoline.
Yeah, it doesn't taste anything like strawberries.
I remember taking a sip in the backwoods of Louisiana, and my great uncle was like, "Yeah, go get that strawberry wine." I was like, "Oh, I think it's gonna be like strawberry Kool Aid." This is gonna be great.
So Lou, think about this: if they made an announcement, Governor Baker comes out and says, "Next Friday."
Oh my God!
All the liquor stores are going to close. What do you think they're going to look like? If you think the shelves are empty in the toilet paper aisle at Star Market, what do you think the liquor stores are going to look like between now and next Friday?
Everyone just calm down.
Well, people have been looking into this story and thinking that it means something. So like Corona, they've suspended the production of Corona in Mexico.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah, but the thing is that, because the Mexican government announced that they're going to suspend it because they don't think it's non-essential. So they're going to start making it again. But it's funny, when I saw that, I was like, are you serious? They're really they're halting production and marketing of its beer because the Mexican government has shuttered non-essential business. So that's an Anheuser-Busch owned.
You just sort of, you walk into, like you talked about, like the toilet
paper issue. Go get your Corona.
No. You walk into the liquor store, and they announce it like on Friday, you're like a day too late, and you're just looking around. You're like, I don't even like rum, but that's the only thing that's left. You look around, you're like, oh, Jesus, look at
vermouth.
Vermouth. Vermouth is left.
I'll take it.
You know, and then you're going back to like the beer you're drinking when you were in college, and you're just sitting there like, oh, okay, that's the only thing that's left. Whatever's on the shelf.
So you were talking about Mexico, and we have friends of ours, a couple that escaped from here and went to Mexico to get away from it all. They went away. They went to Mexico. They thought it was the safest place to go, and there are no incidents of where they are of any of this.
Life is Jamaica.
Totally normal. Yeah.
Two cases in Jamaica when I was there.
Yeah.
Two. They snatched them up real quick.
Yeah.
They snatched them up.
Yeah, he said Corona's there. It's everything is fairly normal down there. Matter of fact, if anything, unless it starts hitting in Mexico, they're the ones that might build a wall to keep Americans out of Mexico.
Exactly. Just a sign that that beer, that alcohol sales have gone up. So sale numbers from Nielsen, I guess they also monitor beer and alcohol, show beer sales rose 34% year over year for the week ending on March 21st. I mean, who's surprised by that? Is anybody surprised?
And this is
by
where
that?
Like, I heard these guys talking about, alcohol and banning it this morning, and Curtis started speaking. And I thought of Curtis because I thought of like time right now, like let's just like somebody like, that's clean, that's sober for however long period of time. Maybe it's a short period of time. Maybe you're clean and sober for the last year or two.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this hits. And now you're just sitting there saying, maybe you're home because you lost your job. And you know what I mean? You've done such a good job for a year or two, and you're just sitting there and you're like, oh my God. Like, how many people fall back into it given the circumstances around right now?
John in New Hampshire is a recovering alcoholic. Hey, John. Hello, John.
Bad timing. I'm here. Can you
go
hear
ahead,
me?
Buddy. Go ahead. Yep, we can hear you fine.
Okay, so I just got out of the car. I'm in a store now. Kind of hard to talk. But anyway, just one thing for Glenn. You said that you thought that the crime would go up for people if you restricted the sale of alcohol. But the truth is that people who are in prison, are almost 90% of them were under the influence of alcohol or drugs when they did whatever it was they did that got them into prison.
And they're letting them out.
Yeah, they hardly let them out.
So I'm not sure the liquor stores are safe if they shut them down, right?
Yeah, well, who knows? We'll see. But I don't think they're ever going to shut them down. I mean,
I don't either.
You have an actual constitutional amendment that says you can't, for one thing.
Yeah, no, I don't see it happening. I really don't. Thanks for the call. JP is down at the Vineyard. JP.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
calling in with a little perspective. I've got 14 years of sobriety, and I don't think that they – thank you. I don't think they should be closing the liquor stores. I'd be concerned with the people that have heavy addiction, such as myself. If they had closed them back when I was drinking, there's a pretty good chance I would have had some type of seizure and possibly died. In fact, right before I went to treatment center, the doctor told me specifically, you can either come in and we'll treat you at the hospital so that you can get to the treatment center and get you down off this safely, or just keep drinking all the way up until when you get to the treatment center. At being an alcoholic, I chose to drink till I got to the treatment center. But my point is, if you cut people off from this, and it's not, there's no way to do it safely, and most alcoholics are just going to go through the DTs at home, and there's a pretty good chance they're going to die. The other thing that's going to happen is you're going to get alcoholics driving to another state. Most likely, they'll be driving there when they're sober, but on the way back, they're going to have alcohol in their system. So you're going to have all these drunk drivers coming on the way back. Those are the issues I see with closing it down.
No, that's a good point. And Lou brought that up with the doctor about the pressure that you have on hospitals right now. Yeah. If, you know, if these people that have it are suddenly having withdrawal symptoms and, as he said, seizures, right? Here's Dave in the car. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dave. Good, buddy. Go ahead.
I was a retired firefighter, and they talked about overloading the hospitals, but these people that we picked up that were going through withdrawals, even though they're not going to be in the hospital, they're going to overload the EMS system. Rescues and firefighters are going to just be overwhelmed as overwhelmed now. Mm-hmm. You know, it just... A lot of people don't realize how many alcoholics there are out there, and like the doctor gave a percentage, but there's people that you don't know are that are alcoholics, and if they stop drinking, they're going to go into seizures too, you know? So it's just going to overwhelm the system even more than it is now.
Good. Yeah, and that's a big concern.
Yeah.
That would be, obviously you're concerned about domestic violence numbers, as we talked about. There's a lot more going on other than alcohol. There's situations at home financially, but I mean, good God. People needing medical care right now. I think we're overwhelmed as it is, or at least we're anticipating it here in the next week or two.
Boy, this is crazy times, aren't they? Think of what we're talking about here. Just crazy times.
Yeah, never thought we'd be.
No.
You're right.
It's crazy. All right, let's get away from it for a segment or two. It is Brady Week here on the radio station. And so Brady did a lot of interesting things, entertaining things off the field. And we're going to go back and relive some of those and rank our top five for you of all time, the Brady off-field moments. And then Adam Schefter will join us at 4:30.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Bring it back.
Would you even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, let's get away from some of this stuff for a little bit, huh? More happy times. Well, not happy times because he's gone. Brady was here for 20 years. He's out of here now.
Yeah.
We're actually looking back on his 20 years because there's no more of it here. But there was a lot more to Tom Brady than just the Tom Brady on the field. He was pretty good off the field. Entertaining. He showed up in movies. He showed up in TV shows. He showed up in commercials. He showed up in a bunch of different stuff. So we're going to give you the five best off-the-field moments with Tom Brady. And we're going to let our producer, Ryan, run them down for you. Go ahead, Ryan. What's the first one?
All right, so we're going to start at number five. So we're going to go back to the year 2005. Tom Brady is on Saturday Night Live. They had just won three out of four Super Bowls. Very young Tom Brady, Lou. And for his opening monologue, they kind of do this Bye Bye Birdie-esque song and dance number. So let's take a quick listen to Tom Brady's singing chops.
I can kill a horse with my bare hands. I can look at you and read your mind. I won the Tour de France and I did it with no pants. So when I rode by, you saw my sweet behind.
Okay, you know what, Tom? There's such a thing as too much talent.
Yeah, you know, Tom, save some of the talent. We have an hour and a half to go.
Yeah, save some of it.
Yeah.
But I was going to do my Kermit the Frog voice.
Okay, yeah, I'd really like to see that, so.
It's not easy being green.
What? Hold on.
I forgot all about that one.
It wasn't pretty bad until the end. That was Gronk-like, right there at the end.
Let me ask you, did you think 2020 Tom Brady does that?
I know.
Sings, dances, Saturday Night Live?
I think he'd surprise you based on his ability to make fun of himself. Like,
it's not easy being green.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he wear underwear, just underwear in that show, in that Saturday Night Live show?
I think at one point he did.
There was a skit in there where he just had underwear.
It was inappropriate. It was like a video for what you're not supposed to do. Yeah, he was in his underwear.
Sexual harassment.
Yeah, sexual harassment. PSA. Like, you know, PSA. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was good. I forgot all about that one. Wow. I actually went to that. I went to Saturday Night Live.
You went to the show.
I did the pre. So they shoot it twice. They do a rehearsal, which starts at like 10 or 9 o'clock or something like that. And then the real show starts at whatever, 11:30 or something like
that.
So
you went to the rehearsal for this one?
Yeah, I went to the rehearsal for this one. I didn't go to
the
actual...
So were you hoping that they would bring you up to the stage and make you...
Oh, God, no. It's funny is that they don't let you... If you know the person who's hosting, or they don't let you sit up front because they don't want you to distract the person who's there. So they put us way in the back, like way in the corner
somewhere. With no lights. Yeah, with no lights.
Yeah, I could barely see anything.
What else you got, Ryan?
All right, we continue on to number four. This is kind of Tom Brady portraying himself. He's on an episode of Entourage. He's in a golf tournament, and I never watched the show, but as far as I can tell, Turtle, Giants fan, was about to really lay into Tom Brady, but he kind of had a change of heart.
Brought drinks.
Hey, thanks, Turtle. Got a good one here.
Oh, damn, I forgot about you, Tom. I only brought three.
I'm good. I'm used to the heat.
Are you?
Hey, do I
very, very good at sounding just pissed off.
Oh, no, he's good.
That is not a stretch for
especially
him.
What's going on? What the hell? Get out of here.
Number two.
His good anger in these next couple. Two of my favorites.
This is a personal favorite of Lou's. Number two, we're going to go to Ted 2.
Yes.
So you have Mark Wahlberg and his teddy bear companion, voiced by Seth MacFarlane. And they need a certain something from Tom Brady. They have to go and extract something. So they go into Brady's bedroom at the dead of night, and this is what that sounds like.
Two league MVPs, four Super Bowl rings, guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer. Now let's get my hand into this red solo cup.
Go ahead.
What do you mean go ahead? You gotta do it.
What are you talking about? You're the one who needs the sperm.
Yeah, but it's got to be a human hand. It's got to be skin on skin. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Oh, it doesn't. It's just friction.
Look, I've never done this before.
Well, neither have I.
You do it to yourself?
Yeah, but it's different.
You're an adult with a poster of this guy in your f***ing room. You're telling me you don't want this?
Yeah, I want it. You know I want it, but I'm nervous, right? What if he doesn't like the way I'm doing it? He deserves the best.
Pull yourself together, for God's sakes. He's going to love it. Go, go, go.
He deserves the best.
He lifts up the blanket,
and it's gold.
Baby Jesus.
And that's at rest.
Mr. Brady, we just need a moment of your time.
What are you doing here? Who are you?
Get out of here! Mr. Brady, this is me. You
call the cops!
Oh, God!
Ah! Wait, Mr. Brady. Take your goddamn teddy bear with you.
Ah! Holy shit. Perfect spiral.
We're back.
This guy sounds
that,
good.
That was awesome.
That was a good acting job.
For Brady, I would say I would give him an A for acting in that job.
Yeah, but I would like to say, though, best. I mean, the best lines were not from Brady, though, so I don't know how this one made it all the way up to number
his
two.
Reaction,
there's like not much range there. He's angry. I mean, all he had to do was wake up angry.
Yeah, but
that's my criticism for that.
Some of the other stuff he's done. Like Saturday Night Live, I would say Peyton Manning was much better than Tom Brady in Saturday Night Live. Would you agree? Manning was great. Remember the skit that Peyton Manning did where he beats up the kids?
Yeah, Manning was good. But Christian, you want range.
Yes.
You want
I'm
acting.
Depth. Yes.
You want, okay, this is number one. This is outstanding.
This is really, really
Under Armour
funny.
Commercial,
Tom
correct?
Brady. It's Funny or Die. Funny or Die was a comedy troupe that they were up on the internet. I'm assuming they're still doing stuff. So the premise of this sketch is Tom Brady walks into a sporting goods store and he's looking for Under Armour. And it's actually a cardboard stand-up of Tom Brady is standing next to the real Tom Brady. So Tom Brady walks in, he needs some help. And this is how that interaction goes.
It's great.
Hey, can you tell me where the Under Armour Cold Black Golf Gear is? Yeah, I just, moved out here and haven't had a chance to unpack my golf stuff, so I'm kind of looking for some...
Sure. Whoa. Are you...
Tom
from
Brady?
Boston? Your accent.
Hey, where's the Under Armour?
I don't have a Boston accent. I play football in Boston.
Sorry, man. I can't understand a word you're saying. You're like, hey, what do you mean? I ain't got no Boston accent. Just say something and I'll spitball with you.
No, I really don't
Go
want
Sox!
To.
I'm doing an impersonation of you. I'm an actor.
I don't even sound like that.
You sound like that.
I sound nothing like that.
I beg to differ.
I'm actually from San Mateo, so...
Oh, San Mateo, Massachusetts? That's really funny, actually. There's a San Mateo here in California. Hey, man, you must get so hot here all the time, right? Because your blood's thicker? You want me to grab you some water?
No.
Water?
No. No.
How about some baked beans?
No. You know why? Because I'm not from Boston. I'm from California. I'm a native Californian. I went to Michigan. Now I play for New England. I'm the... quarterback, you moron.
You know, you look a lot like that Standy. Yeah, it's uncanny.
Him?
Yeah. Well, you don't need to go knocking it over like that.
I am the guy on the Standy.
I am the guy on the friggin' Standy.
Oh my. Matt Damon, shame on you.
That's good range, Christian, right?
That was good acting.
That was good. How long ago was that one? That was, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah. Well, it's got to be further back than
no,
that.
No, that's longer than that.
I think it's further back than that. But
it's still track of time in this coronavirus, this thing.
It's probably 6 or 7 years old. But
that was a good one.
I would say this, that the newer stuff, he's a much better actor than the older stuff.
That
the older stuff was a more Gronk-like.
That's his best
work. Because I'm not from Boston.
I like it because...
I'm from California.
I think he's good.
I'm a native Californian. I went to Michigan. Now I play for New England. I'm the f***ing quarterback, you moron.
I like him angry.
I know.
I like
that's the best one. That's the best one.
Yes.
No question.
Yeah. The Ted 2 was like he just had
Ted
to
2
lay
was
there.
Good though. Ted
he
2
just
was
had to
good.
Lay there.
Yeah, but his reaction when he finally wakes up is pretty good.
It was like mine.
It's pretty
wait,
good.
Wait, Mr. Brady, take your goddamn teddy bear with you.
Oh, holy shit. Perfect spiral.
And he does. He delivers a perfect spiral right into Mark
Wahlberg. I may need to watch that again tonight.
That's,
that
mad.
May be. May have to go back to that one.
I like it.
That was a good one.
It's amazing how they were able to take Seth MacFarlane and squeeze him in that little bear. It's amazing how they did that. You know?
I can't believe you weren't in that movie, Glenn.
Why?
I am the guy on the Standy.
So there you go. Right. 20 years of Tom Brady off the field, and there are five unbelievable moments. We're going to tear up a little bit. We're not going to get
okay, Big O. We'll
any
get
more
it.
Of those anymore.
One day at a time, Big O. We'll get through it.
Does this mean we can't say his name anymore? Are we just
no,
this week?
No, keep on the B word. I keep on hearing people talk about this week being Brady Week, and it is Brady Week, and thanks to the people at Samuel Adams, they've been terrific in helping us do it, and Greg and his organization, and his foundation, and the people with RestaurantStrong.org, and how people have helped out, but it's not the last we're going to talk about Brady. I think Brady's going to be talked about on a regular basis through the entire football season, that is, if we have a football season. All right, Adam Schefter talking about will we have a football season. We'll get his 2 cents. He will join us coming up next right here on OMF.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, welcome back to OMF, Brady Week on WEEI to benefit Greg Hill Foundation. Restaurant Strong Fun is brought to you by Samuel Adams. They have been great. Jim Cook and all of the people at Samuel Adams, thank you very, very much for what you guys have done to help out the restaurant service employees. Celebrating Brady's 20 years here in New England to support those in the service industry who have been financially burdened by COVID-19. Visit restaurantstrong.org. Great news, guys. The truck that Robert and Jonathan Kraft sent down with all the masks is now in New York City, and they are unloading the masks so they can get them out to the hospitals and to the people that really need them. So that's really good news. Our guest today is part of the Brady Week. Here's our buddy Adam Schefter from ESPN on the Harbor One Hotline. Adam, first of all, how are you and your family doing through all this?
Well, hello, Glenn, Lou, Christian.
Hey, Adam.
Boston area.
Hello.
How you guys doing? It's quite a time in our country. It's an unbelievable time in New York. I could tell you that personally. Every day brings new adventures and challenges and scary, unsettling things. I mean, just a trip out last night, which I really haven't left the house at all, but last night I went to go pick up dinner curbside for family at a deli in town and went to this shopping center area. There must have been 10, 12 people out. Everybody had masks, gloves.
Yeah.
It was like a you know, nuclear bomb went off and everybody's trying to avoid the radiation. It's just incredible. And
isn't it?
Even there was one person I'm walking towards, you know, that person goes right, I go left. Like, you're just kind of steering clear of people. And just a different time in our world, and it's very sad, and there's a lot of people going through a lot of challenging situations. 60 Minutes had a piece last week on the doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, frontline people who are unbelievable. I mean, I can't even imagine what they're doing, and the hospitals that they were interviewing the people at, you know, they're 10, 15 minutes from my house. You know, that was where my wife gave birth, where I passed a kidney stone in November.
Well, they're painful.
Brutal. But yeah. These people on the front lines are unbelievable. And so I all owe them a huge, huge, huge debt of gratitude. We can't say enough about them.
So let me do this. Before we get to Brady, and we got questions because we're doing the 20th years of Tom Brady, I want to ask you about the league and sports in general. So today, the chief doctor of the NFL, Dr. Alan Sills, cited certain conditions that must be met before the season would begin. I'm not sure we can achieve those by September. We shall see. And then you made a comment the other day that startled a lot of people when you were asked about conducting the NFL draft, which Roger Goodell claims we are going to have on its scheduled time. And you said you're not sure how it can happen with the carnage out in...
Go ahead. No. Yeah, but what I said was basically, you know, again, my point is this. I love the draft. I love being a part of the draft. It's going to be a great diversion for everybody when it happens. And it is going to happen on April 23rd, okay? It's not going to be moved, I don't expect, in any way, shape, or form. My question is this. That is supposed to be the apex of all this. Right now, according to the CNN ticker, we've got 6,921 deaths in our country. We've got 267,000 cases of this. New York's coming off a day in which it lost as many people in the last 24 hours as it did during the entire month of March. And they're saying the worst is ahead. So if this continues on, and hopefully it doesn't, and we're burying bodies like this on a daily basis, what I don't understand is why can't we do the draft May 23rd or June 23rd?
I'm with you.
Why does it have to be April 20th? Like, why? There's no rookie camps. There's no mini camps. It's not going to be any off-season program. What does it matter?
But you're convinced it's going to happen.
The draft is going to be April 23rd.
No question about it.
But again, what is the condition of our country when they're saying that the worst 2-3 weeks are ahead and the apex of this pandemic is ahead? Like...
But Adam, you said why? But have you asked why? Have you asked Goodell? Have you asked the NFL? Maybe have you asked any owners? Like, hey, why? I mean, to me, it should be a real simple answer, or unless nobody wants to admit to it. Like, why are they doing?
I'll say
that?
This when I said this on the other day. I'll just tell you, I heard from any number of teams, officials on teams, and it was support every text I got. Like, everybody agreed. No one's going to say it.
So why do you think they are still doing? Why do you think Goodell is tone deaf? Like, why?
I don't know. That's my whole thing. Like, and by the way, like I said,
because he said he doesn't think anything's going to change. He says, you know, and he doesn't seem like, you know, I remember when they first announced they were going to keep the draft on the 23rd, that he said, you know, based on everything that we've heard, it doesn't look like we'll know more or anything will change if we postpone it a month.
Yeah, well, again, let's look at it like this. Again, I love the draft. It's one of my favorite events of the year. Okay, it will be a great diversion for our country. It will provide a lot of entertainment, a little bit of just respite for everybody. I agree with all that. I'm not trying to say cancel the draft. Don't do it. I'm just saying what I don't understand is why they're doing it when they are. Like when 9/11 happened, and that was the single biggest crisis of my lifetime, the most traumatic event that we've lived through up until this, and this is a different kind of thing. It happened on a Tuesday morning at 8:50 a.m. Eastern, and they canceled football games that Sunday, correct?
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to play. Okay? And that was 5 days later. Nobody thought playing football was a good idea at that point when we had lost 3,000-plus people. So we lost 1,000 in New York yesterday. The graphs and models go up every day. So what is it going to be like in 2-3 weeks? I hope that this is curtailed and they get a grasp of it. It doesn't look like it's going to be that way. That's not what doctors and scientists are saying. It's saying that the worst is ahead. So if we lost 1,000 yesterday, we're up to 6,921 deaths in New York, or in the U.S., and we're looking at all the loss and sadness that we have in the next few weeks. Again, that's what happens if it affects somebody who's in the draft? What happens if it affects somebody in the league office? What happens if it affects somebody who's broadcasting the draft? What if people around them are sick?
All possible.
When so many people are.
No, all possible. And they keep on talking about they can separate people and they do whole thing virtual and whatever. There's only so much you can do. They're already saying now that the team's staff can go back.
I don't care about the logistics of it. I don't care about that. I'm talking about from an appearance standpoint.
Yeah, it's bad luck.
So, I don't care about the logistics.
No, it's a bad luck.
We all know what the logistics are.
No, what I'm saying with the logistics is if you suddenly have separated all of these people that work for individual teams, one of them has it and they show up and everybody gets it or other people get it, you got a major problem, as you said, if people start catching it.
There's a lot of issues to the whole thing. And I'm not trying to be a party. I'm saying, you know, by the way, I'll just say this. When President Kennedy was assassinated, Pete Rozelle decided to play the games that weekend. And I think he was assassinated on a Thursday or Friday. I wasn't alive there. Does anyone know?
I don't remember.
I believe it was a Thursday or Friday, but the guy who actually killed him was killed by Jack Ruby on that Sunday.
Okay, right. And this was while they were playing NFL. And afterwards, later on, Pete Rozelle admitted that his biggest mistake as a commissioner, his greatest regret, was playing games that Sunday. Now, again, I hope the draft comes off and provides the entertainment that we're talking about. And by the way, for the record, I wondered whether that they should be doing free agency. I wondered whether they could do that. And guess what? The week went off, and it did provide a little bit of a diversion for people, as disappointing as it was to the people in New England with Tom going to Tampa. But that was March 16th. This is April 23rd. And the charts and graphs and models and numbers are a lot different on April 23rd than they are March 16th.
Yeah. Right, I'm talking
to Adam Schefter, part of our Tom Brady week. Adam, I don't want to shift it over to Tom. I wanted to ask you because it was, I'll go back to October. I think it was end of October. So it was a Monday Night Football game, Pats versus Jets. And pregame, you had mentioned that this could very well be Brady's last Monday Night Football game. And I'm curious, we talked about that. And I'm wondering, were you just reading the tea leaves, or even at that point, were you hearing other things?
Well, again, I always try to be very careful about what I say, and I don't just randomly float things out there for shock value. I just knew at that point it was possible that he was leaving. And my instincts were, and I said it that week on air, that it was more likely than not that he would be spending his last season in New England. That was my opinion, based on everything that I had gathered and heard. And so I think that's what I said that night, is that I think I put it out there that night that there were three options. And then what happened was that week, Greeny press me while I was doing Get Up. He said, when he heard, hey, of the three, what do you believe is the most likely? And I said, I believe the most likely is that he's in his last season. And so that, you know, my job is to gather information and kind of read tea leaves and make educated assumptions, I guess.
So it wasn't just an opinion. You had heard some stuff.
I try not to give my opinion, even though I did give you my opinion for the first 5 minutes of this interview.
Yeah.
So did you hear anything? Can you share any, I guess, information as far as how it all went down? Because there were so many rumors, even when Arians was at the combine, and he mentioned Brady's name, you know, and then kind of said, hey, we can win with Jameis Winston. I think everybody knew he was full of it, that he couldn't win with Jameis Winston. Did you hear anything as far as how that whole relationship grew and how they kind of identified him as the guy they wanted? And how early do you think they identified him?
Well, I would say that there were a lot of teams that went through the conversation of if and when Tom does hit the market, do we make a move? There were teams out there that had that conversation that you'd be surprised to hear. Like, it wasn't just a few teams. I'm just telling you this. Mm-hmm. And that's the right thing for these teams to do. Every team, if a player like Tom Brady is coming free, should discuss, are we better off with our current guy or signing Tom and making a move with our other guy? Like, I mean, everybody's going to have those conversations. I say everybody, but a lot of teams are going to have those conversations. And I think a lot of teams did. I can't give you the exact number, but the number was bigger than people realize. I'll say that. And in the end, ultimately, a few teams came back around and decided to enter into the pursuit of him. And so they're ready for when free agency begins to basically pull out the full court press. Now, Bruce Arians did mention Tom specifically by name at the combine, which that should have been a hint to everybody at that point that Buccaneers were interested, because you don't just do that. So, and by the way, the other team that did that, and we had Anthony Lynn on our set at NFL Live, ESPN at the combine, and we said, well, what if there were a veteran quarterback available? And he's like, well, if there were a veteran quarterback, you always have to look at that. You know, like, even he acknowledged it without saying Tom's name.
Yeah.
And the Chargers were definitely interested. So there's two teams right there.
So when you look at, and we're talking about what we're going to do in the fall, obviously we're going on the idea that they're going to be playing football. We're going to have two teams that we're going to be covering here in New England, because Tom Brady is still a big part of the fabric of New England. What does this do for the league, though? You know better than anybody. You talk to all of these people. We know what it does for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It makes them a relevant franchise for the first time in a long time. But what does this do overall for the league? You still got New England. You still got Bill Belichick. Curiosity of whether he can rebuild up there. But you got Tom Brady now with an opportunity maybe to go to a Super Bowl with a pretty good football team.
Well, I still think everybody thinks the Patriots still is a draw, and they still do have Bill, and they still have other talent in place. And so people are going to watch to see how they do. And then, of course, people are going to want to see how Tom is going to do. So you took this ball of interest and kind of just split it up. You know, let's put some down south and let's put some in the northeast. And that's kind of how I view it, much like you described it. And so there'll be, I think, great interest in the Buccaneers, and there'll be some great interest in the Patriots. And that's sort of how it'll play out from here, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the draft, and I know the NFL season is a ways away. But, man, every day that goes by, you feel like they're at risk of not starting on time. You know, or I mean, I don't think it'll be postponed overall, but I do feel like there's a good chance that the season overall could be delayed. What do you feel, and what have you heard?
Well, again, we'll go by what Alan Sills said yesterday, which was that it's hard to imagine that there is being football without there being testing that's effective. And right now there's not. And how are they going to figure that out? I would just say this, that it's hard for me to imagine football being played in a stadium full of 70,000 screaming fans the way we've seen. Like, I'm sure at some point we'll get back to that once there's a vaccine developed for the COVID virus. But without being a doctor or scientist, I can't imagine that that's going to be September. Now, I think that somehow they'll play football. There's just too much money in it not to, from a television standpoint. But, you know, is it going to be opening day in Foxborough, sold-out stadium, fans screaming?
Yeah.
I don't think we're seeing that anytime soon.
Speaking of Foxborough, talking to Adam Schefter, I'm curious because I know – obviously, the Patriots are sitting there right now with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. Have you heard anything? Has anybody told you anything, analysis of who, what they think Jared Stidham is as a quarterback?
Well, you know, it was funny. Michael Lombardi was on my podcast this week, and he was talking about Jared Stidham, and I didn't know this. I guess he was at Baylor under Matt Rule.
No, he wasn't under Matt Rule. No, it was I can't remember the guy's name now, but no, Matt Rule came after him.
Maybe Matt Rule was recruiting Jared Stidham. I mean, there was some kind of tie to Matt Rule. Okay, Matt Rule was recruiting Jared Stidham and
Art Briles. Art Briles was his coach. Sorry. Art Briles was coach because he got in trouble. You know, remember the whole coach. Baylor
threw him out.
Yeah, he threw him out. Yeah, but Rule came afterwards.
Maybe that's what it is. You know. Yeah, maybe that. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, he was of the mind that if Stidham had stayed with Art Briles and played there in that system, that he thinks Stidham would have been a first-round draft pick. Now, again, I don't know if that would or wouldn't have worked out, but that was his opinion. And that, again, he knows the Patriots system. So you got Stidham, you got Hoyer. I would imagine at some point the Patriots are going to draft a quarterback wherever they do. And there's your three guys. And you don't have a whole lot of money tied up in the position. You could spread out your money and begin to get your financial cap orders back in business and let the best man kind of grow into that job and win.
How difficult do you think this draft, because you think the draft is going to come off, how difficult do you think it's going to be for teams? I know the NFL is already talking about maybe stopping the clock if a team is involved with another team in trying to work out a deal. How much different do you think it's going to be, especially when these teams haven't had the opportunity to bring any of these guys in?
Well, let me explain this. I just spoke to a few different general managers this afternoon, and they don't know where they're doing the draft. We're under 3 weeks away. They don't know where they're doing it, and they're not going to know where they're doing it because we don't know whether teams are going to be allowed back in their buildings or whether they're going to be at home, and if they're doing it at home, how they're going to do it. And if one team can't get back in its building across the league, then the league says nobody can go back in the building. So, I mean, look, you know, we're living through a pandemic here that is far more significant than where people are drafting people, but from a football perspective, there's complete uncertainty and the unknown. These front offices right now have no idea where they're going to be drafting and how they're going to be doing the draft.
Boy, unbelievable times that we're living in. Adam, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Adam. Safe out there. I know you're in the hotbed of it all, but stay safe out there, okay?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I hope everybody in the Massachusetts area stays safe as well.
We'll do the best we can. Thank you. That is Adam Schefter of ESPN, all part of Brady Week here on WEEI. Benefit Greg Hill's Foundation, the Restaurant Strong Fund. It's brought to you all by Samuel Adams. And again, we want to thank Jim Cook and all the people of Samuel Adams. They've been terrific all week long, and they've raised some serious money to help people in the restaurant industry. We got another hour to go. We got 30 minutes commercial free. We will do that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.